بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. And a very warm welcome to this week's live edition of Living the Legacy. My name is Rehana Omar, and we're very pleased to have you joining us today on the program, where today we continue with our series. A series all about the principle of Husn al-Dhan. And we continue with that series, learning more from what the Quran and the Ahadith, the Sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, teaches us. But to begin the hour, we usually turn our focus to a bit of reflection and inspiration, something to think about and reflect over. And today is all about shukr, all about gratitude, appreciation, and thankfulness. It's a short piece that we've probably heard many times over, but it is nonetheless one that gives plenty of food for thought. I'd like that as we listen into this reflection today, we allow it to be something that we internalize and reflect upon this for our own selves. So here goes. Be thankful that you don't already have everything you desire. If you did, what would there be to look forward to? Be thankful when you don't know something, for it gives you the opportunity to learn. Be thankful for the difficult times. During those times, you grow. Be thankful for your limitations, because they give you opportunities for improvement. Be thankful for each new challenge, because it will build your strength and character. Be thankful for your mistakes. They will teach you valuable lessons. Be thankful when you're tired and weary, because it means you've made a difference. It is easy to be thankful for the good of things. A life of rich fulfillment comes to those who are also thankful for the setbacks. Gratitude can turn a negative into a positive. Find a way to be thankful for your troubles, and they can become your blessings. This really is all about the mindset with which we approach challenges, hardships, difficulties. If the mindset with which we approach it is, this is something that's out to get me or to punish me, or why me always, why do I have to go through the hardship or challenge, we'll never really be able to see the blessings in disguise. We'll never be able to see the ease in that hardship. We'll always see it as a punishment only, or a test only, or a challenge only. So if we just shift our mindset and allow ourselves to view things with the lens of a believer, of a mu'min. And the lens of a mu'min or a believer is all about the principle of Husn al-Dhan billah. Husn al-Dhan, thinking well of others. And Husn al-Dhan billah, thinking well of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so really when we bring that principle down to the basics, it's about what's happening for me and not what's happening to me. Very often, we live in that mind space or heart space of things are happening to me. And we usually talk about that from a more negative context. But were we to look at something from a positive angle, it is what is happening for me and not what is happening to me. This is really important for us to introspect. When we think about how everything that's happening, it's not about that I am the one being punished and things are happening to me, but rather that they are happening for me. I want to share with you a short quotation, and it is indeed a very beautiful one. When something happens that you dislike or that hurts you, be careful not to get lost in the illusion created by pain. Look through it. Find the message in the bottle. Find the purpose. And let it lead you to glimpse just a little more of him. A quotation, part of which from Yasmin Mujahid. Again, when something happens that you dislike or that hurts you, be careful not to get lost in the illusion created by pain. Look through it. Find the message in the bottle. Find the purpose. And let it lead you to glimpse just a little more of him. So this is important for us to realize. And the second point is that your anxiety about a matter is a sign that you have put your trust in your own efforts rather than Allah. So often, and this is not generalized, but very often it is that we experience anxiety about something. So when we look within ourselves to try and understand where this anxiety is coming from, it is that we have put trust in our own efforts, not trust in Allah and His miracles and His help and His guidance or love. And as a result of that, we feel a deep sense of anxiety. So look within, the anxiety that you're feeling, where does this anxiety come from? Where does it originate? Now, our current theme or topic this Tuesday and every Tuesday for the fund is the topic of Husnul Dhan. And we're talking more about the principle and the value of thinking good or thinking well. There is the general Husnul Dhan, which is Husnul Dhan to people around us. And then there is Husnul Dhan Biniyah. And this is on a very deep level where we understand that everything is happening for me and not to me. It is understanding that in life we have so many keys, and thinking good can work for anything. It can open any door in our life. We often hear a lot about positivity and optimism and being positive. But is that optimism and positivity is leading us to have exclusively have faith in our ability, our talent, our hard work, our effort, then that's where this anxiety and this discontentment and this disillusionment comes in. But the minute we surrender and realize that every talent or resource or gift Allah has given us is from Him and from His mercy, and we put our efforts and our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's when we see and notice and feel the shift, when the anxiety starts to lift, because we start trusting more and we start trusting fully in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so as we said last week, anyone thinking good about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will get all the goodness. So when we are going through a difficulty in life, what is the solution? It is to think good about the situation, even though it is difficult, to realize that nothing is forever. To think good about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to realize that that solution is with Him. Now, if you missed last week's edition of the program, it is up on podcast on Radio Islam's official SoundCloud account or Radio Islam's website under podcast. Navigate, find my name, and you could find the list, the archive of previous podcasts. Last week, we discussed three important words that we would reference back to when talking about Shukran and Bond. The one is Shuk. Shuk is doubt. Doubting someone with no evidence. The second is one, and this is two things, 50-50, either this or that. So one can be is an assumption or to think well, think of something. We could either think well or think bad of something. And the last is al-waham. And waham is an illusion, something in our mind. And that brings us back to the quotation we looked at earlier today, that we need to be careful not to get lost in the illusion created by pain. It's very important that we look through that. Now, in last week's program, we looked at Husna Dhan in the Qur'an, meaning what does the Qur'an Kareem teach you and I about Husna Dhan? What does it teach us about the believers at Husna Dhan? And we looked to Surah An-Nur, the chapter of light, Surah 24, verse 12, and we learned from there that the attitude of the believer is to think good about the believer. And when someone speaks badly about someone we know, and we did not witness what this person is saying, we need to still think good about our friend. And that we should not be giving in to doubts that we are hearing. We then looked at another ayah of the Quran, Surah Hujurat, the chapter of the dwellings, chapter 49. And this was about a bond, the assumption. We said that thinking bad will open the gates of spying. And after spying comes backbiting, which is literally eating the flesh of someone who is dead. We then said thinking good is the key to everything good. And thinking bad is the key to everything bad. We also discussed how some assumption is sin. Most of the suspicions may not be sinful, but we do need to avoid all suspicion. We also spoke about how spying and backbiting leads often to further spying or doubting people, and that this is not a wholesome characteristic to have where we live in a space of paranoia or doubting people all the time. Today we're going to look at what the Sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us about Husna Dhan. Now, looking towards the Quran Kareem, we said that Surah An-Nur tells us to always think good of the believers. And Surah Al-Hujurat tells us to avoid suspicion. In the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we are told to be aware of the suspicion, that this is the worst of the lies because you're thinking bad about the people. Now, in Sahih Bukhari in Muslim, so it is narrated in the Sahih chain from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, beware of suspicion, for suspicion it's the falsest of speech. Do not eavesdrop nor spy on one another. Do not envy one another. Do not forsake one another. Do not hate one another. Be, O slaves of Allah, brothers. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we notice and we learn from his way, from Sunnah, that whenever he was talking to people, he would always look at people, he would always turn his attention and focus towards people, and so he would make eye contact. And this is very important as part of the body language to gain trust and confidence in others. We know that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when speaking to someone, would turn his whole self so that he was facing that person as he was speaking to them. So we ask ourselves, what is it like for us in our interpersonal relationships? Are we applying these aspects of the Sunnah? Or are we trying to? Yes, it is not easy always, it is challenging. We are human, we make mistakes. But are we on this path to consciously be aware of and create this awareness and work towards living in this way where we're avoiding suspicion? Where we're avoiding eavesdropping, spying, envy, forsaking others, hating one another. As Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in such simple, short, easy words, be, O slaves of Allah, brothers. Then you know that the Sahaba radiallahu anhu said that the best thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them after Islam is their brotherhood, their huwa in Islam. Imagine when you cannot share your Islam with people. So the purest relation is the relationship between believers. We don't want to think bad about each other. We always need to defend each other and to be thinking good about each other. At the end of the day, we all represent each other, so we need to be transparent with each other. So I want to take just a few moments before we move on to our next topic under Husnul Dhann, and for us to just reflect about this. Reflect about the mindset of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, who said that the best thing that Allah gave them after Islam is their brotherhood, their huwa in Islam. How many of us can resonate with this? How many of us agree with this? How many of us honor the brotherhood or sisterhood of Islam? What does it mean to us? How do we honor it? What do we do to strengthen our ties of brotherhood and sisterhood in Islam? Does the salam feature in our connection, in our relationships as believers? Are we aware? Are we careful about what we say and how we say something? Are we aware and conscious of the rights that others have upon us? We often talk about the rights that we have over others, but what about the rights that others have over us? Are we aware of this? Are we fulfilling those rights? Very often in interpersonal relationships, it's the ego that gets the better of us all. From the standpoint of the ego, it's where we want to be right all the time. But if we allow for that ego to drop, we're able to see often the reality. And we're able then to say, I'm sorry. We're able to say, what I did or said was wrong. We're able to see our errors and shortcomings. But for as long as we feed the ego, we will always operate from a space of feeling I am always right 100% of the time and everyone else is wrong. Then we will always operate from a space of what everyone, why is happening to me rather than this is happening for me. And being able to see the message in the bottle, being able to see that light in that tunnel, not at the end of the tunnel, but in that tunnel. Being able to see that there's some khair and there's some goodness for me, and I need to take that goodness. Or do I need to change something or improve upon something? So when we operate from this space, we're much more flexible. We're much more gentle with our own selves. And we're open to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to all the blessings in the skies. We're going to go for our first ad break of the hour, and when we return, we continue discussing more about Husnul Dhann. And this time round, we turn our focus to the pious predecessors. What did the Salaf say about Husnul Dhann? And how can we implement these gems in our lives? You're listening to Living the Legacy this Tuesday morning, and our topic this month is about Husnul Dhann. We're talking about it from the Quranic and the prophetic standpoint, perspective, and we're discovering more about its beauty and how it impacts positively in the lives of believers. More after this break, same class. A very warm welcome to the program. You're listening to Living the Legacy, and we're into the second half of this hour, where today we're continuing with our monthly theme. And this month we're learning more about Husnul Dhann. We're learning what the Quran Kareem and the Hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us, and we're understanding how to implement this principle in our lives so that Husnul Dhann can also be part of that legacy we hope to live and leave behind one day. We're moving on to our next topic for this morning, and it is about what has the Salaf, what have the pious, righteous predecessors said about the topic of Husn al-Zan. And as we go through some of the reflections, I'd like for us to internalize this and draw and extract the gems from them. Among them is, don't think bad if you cannot find the exit to good. You need to always think it. For example, if you have doubts about what someone said, something you don't like, immediately you will exit these thoughts and think good. So don't overthink the bad. Delete it from your mind and think good. Now, it's very easy for Shaitan to play tricks on our mind. So the minute a negative or a bad thought enters our mind and is planted there, Shaitan will continue harvesting it for as long as we allow that. So we need to be very conscious and aware of our thoughts and of the quality of our thoughts. And our thoughts are not facts. So they keep coming to us, as many as between 40 to 60,000 thoughts a day. That's right, each of us think between 40 to 60,000 thoughts a day. And not every thought is a fact. Some thoughts lead us to more deliberation and to some beneficial action. And some thoughts leave us stuck in a space. We're left feeling discontent, miserable, sad, or unfocused. But the choice is always ours. The quality of thoughts we're ready to think about and develop, and the quality of thoughts to go on. So whenever a thought comes to mind, simply reflect, is this a reality? Does this hold true for me? Is this important to me? Is this my consciousness? Is this part of who I am and what I'm thinking? Because so many of our thoughts are based on what we experience or the external environment. So we want to think very carefully on whether we want to hold on to that thought and invest in it, and whether we want to give that thought head space or heart space. We all have the choice. So we can choose which thoughts we would like to nurture and which thoughts we want to nourish and flourish in our minds and lives. Having said that, we can also choose which thoughts we wish to disregard and let go of. So, sit back. Do you spend a lot of time overthinking? Have you become a victim to it? One good way to find out if overthinking has been impacting on you recently is take an hour or two of your day. And just for that hour, write down, make a note of your thoughts every half an hour. We very soon come to realize that we often can't remember all the thousands of things we've been thinking about just in the last 30 minutes. And that will give you an idea of how important it is to realize that thoughts are just thoughts. And not every thought needs to rent a space in your heart or mind. So be careful which thoughts you allow to grow and flourish in your mind and your heart. Now, anyone who knows of a good character of a brother or sister shouldn't be listening to anything bad which someone else says about them. Well, that's something very common in many social settings. You know a person's character, you know them for a while, you've established that they are good people. Yes, no one's perfect, but they are good people, they have good character. And along comes someone and they badmouth this person so severely that you're left shaken, and you start doubting whether that person has good character or not. So be very careful and be very aware of this. Be firm and realize when what you're hearing is truth or hearsay. The longer we give time and energy to negative thinking and gossiping and thinking bad of others, having no reason or no justification, the longer we keep draining ourselves of positive energy. The next thing that's important to realize is to negate and don't listen to the bad comments others say about someone. If you see the good in them, you may see that good character in a person. You may believe that that person is a good person, and yet someone else is bad-mouthing them terribly. You have a choice to listen, to ask the person to stop making these comments, to move away, and to dissociate yourself from that conversation. Many of us fear that if we speak up, that we'll be seen as being unsociable or being snobbish. But when it comes to a matter of principle, we need to realize that if a person is bad-mouthing another person, we don't need to be part of that conversation. So the challenging part, and this is what we all need to work towards, is to fight back any doubt and always take the good words about people. Very often what happens with the nest is we end up transgressing against someone because we feel jealous of them. So perhaps we know that they're good people. We know they have good character. But we end up transgressing against them, so speaking ill about them with others, simply because we're jealous of them. So we need to be very aware of this and realize that there is accountability with Allah about this. Now previously we spoke about there being two types of wand. And we said we have the good wand, right? And that is to have doubts about any danger or security issue. That's a good wand, a good assumption, because it will protect us. But the bad wand, the doubt, as I mentioned to you, about someone who's a good person, a good character, but you're now having this bad assumption on them. So here's where we need to be very careful, and we call this su al-dhann. Not husn al-dhann, but su al-dhann. When you think about this topic and this principle of husn al-dhann, of thinking good, of thinking well, we come to realize that husn al-dhann is a sign of complete faith, a sign of complete iman, and that there are many benefits to husn al-dhann. You think good, good will come. You think bad, bad will come. And so we need to correct our thinking throughout our lives. We need to get ourselves to a point where we are thinking positively, where we're aware of the quality of our thoughts, just as we are aware of the quality of air, water, or any amenities that we use. In the same way that we're aware of the quality of our health, our attention span, our focus, the quality of our happiness, and the quality of our education, we need to be aware of the quality of our thoughts. How many of those thoughts need to be shredded apart or filtered through, or how many of them are already distorted? So much so that we start thinking of them as facts rather than what they just are, thoughts. How many of these thoughts really deserve headspace and heart space? And if they do, do you know why they deserve that headspace or heart space? These are important points that we need to think about and reflect. And we need to ask ourselves this regularly in the path to living a legacy, where we ask ourselves, what are the quality? What is the quality of my thoughts? So we have the option to either wanting to destroy ourselves by thinking bad and attracting all negativity, or we want to bring good towards us and we want to live with a khair and barakah. And that is our choice. When you are thinking good about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this life, you will notice that everything in your life is very subtle and quiet and calm, and you can enjoy every moment. However, when we think bad, it really destroys us, and it impacts so severely on our iman, on our health, on our general well-being. Notice in every dua that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made, that he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what was the most frequently asked? Allahumma inni as'aluka afiya. And this is what he advised us to ask for. That afiya, that well-being, a life of goodness, of wellness. And that is both emotionally, physically, socially, spiritually. And that is what we should be seeking out. We are told in the most comprehensive dua, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا, we're asking Allah to give us في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. We're asking for the حسنة in the dunya and in the akhirah. And we're asking for protection from the hellfire. And so this most comprehensive dua teaches us that yes, ask for goodness in this world. Ask for goodness in the akhirah. And it teaches us and it trains us as believers to be asking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all that is good, for all that is pure and beneficial. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding from you. We're going to go for our last break. Our Nasheed break comes up shortly. And when we return, we talk about thinking good about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how it closes the door to evil and fitnah. More coming up in our last segment after this Nasheed break. Stay with us. A very warm welcome to the program. We're into our last segment of this hour, where today we're continuing with our team on the Fitna One. We're discussing what it means to think well, thinking well of others as a believer, and thinking well of our Creator Most High. We said when something happens that you dislike or that hurts you, be careful not to get lost in the illusion created by pain. Look through it. Find the message in the bottle. Find the purpose. And let it lead you to glimpse just a little more of Him. Now, on today's program, we're continuing with our discussion of thinking good. And we're now moving to a topic on thinking good about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how this closes doors of evil and fitna. So fitna is deceiving. On the day of judgment, there are hooks on the sirat which are like the fitna, and they will scratch you if you reacted in this life. So the ones who did the good deeds will cross the sirat quickly. So examples of trials in the dunya are people, spouses, children, money, wealth. Life in general is a fitna. So what should we do? We should be thinking good. This is the master key of all the keys in life. Sometimes we open the doors of the fitna with our doubts and with our jealousies. The next is thinking good about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates love between the people. So hatred or arguments between people happen because people are thinking bad. But what happens if you think good? When you think good, when you think positively, when you are respectful in how you approach people based on your thoughts or assumptions, that's when love comes between people. Think of it like this. When you think bad, you cannot go to your companions in Jannah. So we need to be transparent so that we listen to the good. So we speak the good. It's Shaytan who wants to bring doubt between people. So thinking good is key. Another benefit to us thinking good is that it prevents mischief and it prevents rumors spreading in society. Think of it like this. One person thinking good will be like a lantern which glows in the dark. So each person can be that lantern. And most importantly, that thinking good about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes first. When we're thinking good, this is an indicator of a good heart, of a pure heart, of a transparent heart. So thinking good is thinking good about each other, about our friends, our family. Yes, we have spoken about this in the past, the need to not be operating from a space of such naivety that we allow hurt or pain to return to us when we are aware of what's been caused. So we're aware of this, yes, and we live with that awareness. However, we should not be living from the space, operating in a space where we are paranoid about everything, where we doubt everything, because this simply brings on more anxiety and more dread and fear. When it comes to the husna bond, we realize that there are some obstacles for people, and each of us will be tested with this in many different ways in our lives. And so what we want to come to is a point of realizing that with husna bond, there are a few challenges, and yes, they can be overcome. So once we identify what these challenges are, we can take the next step. So we ask the question, what makes us to think negatively? One of the things is living in a society where everyone thinks bad. So again, we need to be careful who we are choosing to befriend, or who we are choosing as friends, acquaintances, our business partners, colleagues. When we're living or working in a society where it's natural for people to think bad, that becomes our status quo. The second is our nurturing upbringing. So if we are living with people who are always thinking bad, always thinking negative, always in suspicion, then we will need to have to work out of that to start thinking and operating from a space of husna bond. Another obstacle to husna bond is ignorance. And this, again, is an aspect that affects, the topic of ignorance affects so many parts of our group. So being ignorant of the effects of thinking bad. So many people don't think about this, don't know about this. It's all they know, to think bad, to think negatively. And so they've never been exposed to the benefits or the joy or peace that come from thinking positively or thinking well, then this ignorance keeps people in a certain space. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from that ignorance. Ameen. In line with the society we live or work in is the evil companion. See that people who, whether it's out of jealousy or it's envy, they will do everything they can to demotivate you, to make you feel bad, to make you think negatively. And they can do this in such a subtle way that we don't even realize them doing this. So be very aware and very careful of this. So the last point that we want to conclude on for today's program, inshallah, is how then can we think good and think positively? And we'll look at this in more detail next week. But just to look at a few main points, and perhaps you want to make a checklist of this, perhaps you want to ask yourself mentally, how many of these are part of your daily life, and which are you going to bring into your life next? So to be able to think good and think positively, we want to begin by making dua to Allah. If we find this to be a challenge, we want to make dua and ask Allah to help us with this, to help us develop husna bond billah. The next is we want to follow the sunnah. Because when we look to the Sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we learn that his entire prophetic traits and qualities reflected husna bond. The next thing we want to do is to learn empathy, to be able to put ourselves in another person's shoes. Because when we're able to do that, then there's less of a likelihood that we will end up having negative or evil assumptions about others. We also want to increase in iman. The more faith we have, the more we think good and pure. Another important one, and this can be quite challenging, is taking words in the best way. Often we sabotage our own selves and our own happiness. So learning not to always question or twist what people say, and just to take it in a good way. So, making excuses for people. And lastly, be careful of making judgments based on people's appearance. We will, inshallah, talk more about this in next week's program when we recap and go through these pointers and there's many more that we can look at to help us develop husnul dhan and husnul dhan billah. So get thinking about the quality of your thoughts and discovering how thoughts are not necessarily sad, and being able to choose and filter our thoughts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding and grant us life of afiyah and need. Until we meet again on Thursday at 2 p.m., Jazakumullah khairan for listening in, and Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.